Hello, 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 geeks, freaks, and tomb dwellers, and welcome back to another wonderful episode of Tombs of Horror. As always, I'm your host, Dustin. A couple things to talk about before we get into the episode proper. Number one, my band, Raped by Wolves, once again, has another single out. It's called Nothing But a Reject, and it features two songs from my upcoming album, Treacherous Hope, which will be dropping sometime in December. Also, I have another single that has been submitted, another two-song single that has been submitted, as a matter of fact, called Fly Far Away From Here, which features three tracks on it. Two of them will be, once again, on the before-mentioned December album, Treacherous Hope, and there's also one non-album B-side on there. So if you haven't heard the previous single or this next one, which should be out next week, probably, I think, certainly by the time this comes out, or maybe a little after, who the fuck knows, since it's the weekend coming up. But anyway, I'd really appreciate it if you guys could give those a listen. And speaking of music, I will be starting a second podcast. I'll still be doing Tombs of Horror, but I'm going to be starting a second podcast called Everything Heavy Under the Sun Metal Podcast, where I'm just going to be talking about heavy metal music, you know, deathcore, metalcore, traditional heavy metal, and all that kind of shit, because music is my first love. And as I said, this podcast, Tombs of Horror, actually started out as a music podcast, but I decided to give the music podcast another go, hence why I started the second podcast. So we'll see how that goes. I haven't recorded an episode for it yet, but like I said, you know, it's solely going to focus on music. So this one can be, so Tombs of Horror can be more focused on just movies, because I've done episodes for this about music as well. But now Tombs of Horror is solely going to be about movies, and Everything Heavy Under the Sun Metal Podcast is going to be about music. I haven't recorded an episode for the second podcast just yet, but I will be getting around to that eventually soon, probably. So yeah, keep an eye out for that. So for this episode, I thought I'd talk about a trilogy of films, which aren't particularly great, but they are amusing for the most part. And the first one, and that's the Carnosaur trilogy. It's kind of a Jurassic Park ripoff, just having a much lower budget. So, and they were also directed, or at least I think the first one at least, was directed by the infamous Roger Corman. And if you don't know who Roger Corman is, I believe he's still alive. but Roger Corman was a majorly low-budget B-movie director. He was infamous for making quickies, which means that they were all shot fairly quickly and done for very little money. But anyway, let's get into this episode with the first film in this trilogy, and that is 1993's Carnosaur.
What the hell is it? Looks like some kind of lizard.
Dinosaurs. The Earth was scaled to their dimensions. Human beings are ants crawling through their living rooms.
truly fabulous. Like a great theme park.
Based on a 1984 novel of the same name by John Brosnan, Dr. Jane Tiptree has withdrawn from public life to conduct sequestered research for the UNIS Corporation. The DARPA is wary of her work with genetically modified chickens, but cannot legally interfere in her research. While in transport, one of Tiptree's chickens hatches a reptilian creature, which kills the driver and escapes. Meanwhile, near her laboratory in the small town of Climax, Nevada, the populace begins suffering from a mysterious illness with flu-like symptoms. At a neighboring UNIS-owned quarry, Watchman Doc Smith protects excavation equipment from environmentalists. He reports a trespasser, Ann Thrush, but Sheriff Fowler is investigating a series of gruesome killings perpetrated by Tiptree's missing creature. Among the victims is a daughter of UNIS employee Jesse Paloma, but before he raises any suspicion to her research, Tiptree lures him into a laser-protected dinosaur pen where a fully grown Tyrannosaurus Rex devours him. Despite the deaths, Thrush and a group of activists handcuff themselves to excavation equipment in a form of protest. They are then encountered by one of the dinosaurs, and everyone except Thrush is slaughtered. Still in shock, Thrush is brought back by Doc to his trailer, where she survives another attack by the creature. Doc discovers a truck with two corpses belonging to Eunice and contacts Tiptree on the vehicle's radio, deducing the creature originated from her facility. As he approaches the lab, Fowler discovers a dinosaur embryo in a carton of eggs and takes it for investigation. Doc then infiltrates Tiptree's laboratory, and at gunpoint she reveals her experiment subjects to him. The town's mysterious illness is caused by infected chicken eggs, which contains a lethal airborne virus and impregnates women with dinosaur embryos. Her objective is to exterminate the human race, which Tiptree faults as disastrous, and enable dinosaurs to once again repopulate the Earth. News of the town's deaths reach UNIS sponsors, who trace it to Tiptree, and in response, the government places the community under quarantine and resolves to kill all civilians, infected or not, on site. With the illness rapidly spreading, Fowler responds to a disturbance at a pet shop. He confronts the original dinosaur, but both he and the dinosaur suffer fatal wounds in the exchange. Top government officials in a secure underground bunker also begin planning a repopulation of the human race in response to the virus, and they envision a new social order propagated by strict fertilization policies and artificial wombs. At a laboratory, Doc attempts to escape with the cure to the illness and mistakenly enters the dinosaur pen, and Tiptree releases a T-Rex, which then pursues Doc out of the facility, and then, infecting herself, Tiptree birds the dinosaur and succumbs to the illness. Doc then returns to Thrush, who has been exposed to the illness. The T-Rex enters the quarry, where Doc uses a loader to battle it. He then disembowels and kills the dinosaur with Thrush's assistance. And after injecting her with this serum, Doc is killed by government soldiers alerted to his presence, and both his and Thrush's bodies are burned as the movie ends. This film could have been a lot of things. Number one, a lot better than it actually is. But you can probably blame its obvious low budget on it for being a missed opportunity. This movie contains many good elements, including a very wonderful performance by a slumming Academy Award nominee Diane Ladd as Dr. Tiptree. It's a watchable but pretty much forgotten effort by what was made in the wake of Steven Spielberg's much bigger budgeted Jurassic Park. This was, however, interestingly enough, this came out a couple weeks before Jurassic Park, and also interesting is that Diane Ladd's daughter, Laura Dern, was one of the stars of Jurassic Park. However, for all its cheapness, the dinosaur sequences are pretty well done, despite some unintentionally funny moments. And there is a pretty good amount of gore in it, and like I keep saying, you know, gore doesn't make a movie, but sometimes it helps, and in this case, it does. IMDb gave this a 3.6 out of 10. Rotten Tomatoes a 10%. Letterboxd a 2 out of 5. And I give it a 2.3 out of 5. And that leads us into the first sequel, 1995's Carnosaur 2.
Got something over here!
An experiment they couldn't control.
Wait, what's going on here?
Has unleashed the ultimate predator, Carnosaur 2.
What is this?
They found a way to bring back dinosaurs.
Move it!
We found a nest, dozens of things that started breeding.
Look how packed this room is. We're safe in here.
Carnosaur 2. Extinction is a thing of the past.
Also known as Carnosaur 2, Back for Another Bite, this sequel opens at a deserted facility called Yucca Mountain, where an orphan teenage hacker boy named Jesse is caught trying to steal dynamite. His Uncle Joe, a worker at the site, stops him, and that night, an animal appears at the facility's mess hall and kills everyone but Jesse. When communications from the facility cease, a repair team of civilian technicians are called in to investigate, as the site has been experiencing power issues. The team is led by Major Tom McQuaid of the Department of Defense. McQuaid explains that Yucca Mountain is a military-operated uranium mine, usually off-limits to civilians. However, the facility has a schedule to keep, and the group was the closest team available on such short notice. The investigators find the place deserted, and three go to the control room to try to reboot the computer system, while the other three form a search party. They locate Jesse, catatonic and in a state of shock, and take him to the control room. The team wants to leave, feeling unsafe about the situation, although McQuaid orders them back to work. The team then realizes that the issues with the communications equipment cannot be resolved from the control room, concluding that they must venture down into the facility to find the cause of the problem. Although the lowest levels are classified, the team proceeds to investigate them as well, despite objections from McQuaid. Helicopter pilot Galloway and computer expert Moses stay in the control room with Jesse, and when an animal kills team member Kahane, the rest of the crew flees the lower floors. Jesse, listening to their radio chatter, realizes what happened and flees the room just before a velociraptor appears and kills Moses. Galloway then flees to the helicopter and starts the engine, and before the crew can reach her, a velociraptor in the back seat attacks her, and during the struggle, the helicopter is inadvertently lifted. The dinosaur then kills Galloway, and the helicopter crashes, stranding the crew. The group then returns to the control room, and they demand answers from McQuaid, who reluctantly tells them about the dinosaur's origins. 2 months earlier, a biotech firm had been working with fossilized DNA and genetic experiments, finding a way to recreate dinosaurs. The government had sent in a team to contain the situation, and dozens of eggs were discovered and were stored at Yucca Mountain. The dinosaurs later hatch and kill the facility workers, and Jesse informs the team of the facility's dynamite, and they decide to use it to blow up the plant and its dinosaurs, despite McQuaid's objections. Demanding further answers from McQuaid, he tells the team that the lower levels of the facility are a repository for atomic waste, including dozens of warheads. Radiation is now leaking from a containment unit damaged by the dinosaurs, and a repository failure will occur in less than 2 hours, potentially sending off the warheads. Jesse then devises a plan to crash the computers to send the site into an emergency mode, which should get an evacuation squad to rescue them. Once the plan is put into place, the group begins making their way back to the surface, using dynamite rigged with tripwires to hold off the dinosaurs while getting to the elevator. However, a velociraptor breaks into the elevator and eats Rollins, and the elevator's cables snap, and it crashes. After the escape, the elevator monk is injured, Or after they escape the elevator, Monk is injured as he accidentally activates the tripwire while fleeing from a velociraptor. And too injured to walk, Monk and McQuaid blow themselves up to kill the remaining velociraptors. Jesse and Reed then continue onward, but Reed trips over a wire and dangles from a platform, eventually suffering a long fall. Jesse then makes his way to the surface and finds the evacuation team waiting, but they refuse to retrieve Reed due to the facility's imminent explosion. Jesse then runs back in himself and helps Reed, and they narrowly avoid a Tyrannosaurus Rex on their way to the rescue helicopter. Jesse then runs back and grabs a remote detonator to trigger the remaining dynamite, and a T-Rex bursts out of the building and kills one of the rescue team members. Jesse then gets in a telescopic handler and uses it to battle the dinosaur, eventually pushing it down a large elevator shaft. The helicopter then takes off, and Jesse detonates the rest of the dynamite, destroying the facility and preventing a meltdown, and the movie ends. Well, the first Carnosaur was basically a monster on the loose in a small town, Jurassic Park, rip-off kind of movie. This one is much more of a cramped, low-lighted, enclosed space survival horror along the likes of Dead Space, or if you want to really get into it, Aliens. Or Alien, especially with the loader battle with the T-Rex at the end, which is very similar to Ripley's fight with the Queen in Alien. Or, I'm sorry, Aliens. And it basically turns all the female heroes from that movie into male heroes in Carnosaur 2. So as you can tell, you know, Roger Corman didn't have a lot of originality in his movies. They were all just basically rip-offs of bigger budgeted, more popular movies, as most low-budget movies are. Also, just replace the aliens with fucking velociraptors. And it's even weirder because a lot of the dialogue in this movie is almost plagiaristically close to the dialogue from Aliens. However, having said that, this is better than the first film, and probably the best in the trilogy. There is a lot less gore in this one, and the dinosaurs aren't really as good looking. You can tell in quite a few shots that they're actually just people in pretty cheap rubber suits, especially when it comes to the close-ups. But they still, when there's far away shots, they still look pretty decent enough, I guess. But like I said, this is probably the best film in the franchise. The set design is decent enough, and it gives the movie a dark industrial feeling. However, the acting is pretty wooden and pretty bad compared to the first one. Not to say that the acting in the first one was Oscar-winning shit, but it's pretty bad in this one. IMDb gave it a 3.6 out of 10, Rotten Tomatoes a 12%, Letterboxd a 2.3 out of 5, and I give it a 2.5 out of 5. And that brings us to the final film in this franchise, and that is 1996's Carnosaur 3, Primal Species.
What is it?
These creatures are extremely dangerous.
They thought they could keep it undercover.
It's classified.
They thought they had all the answers.
What the hell are you talking about?
Genetically reconstructed replicas of prehistoric dinosaurs.
But they were wrong. Carnosaur 3.
I'll get back to the freight elevator now!
Carnosaur 3, Primal Species.
As the movie opens, an army convoy is attacked by terrorists who soon discover they have stolen a truck of living frozen biological material instead of uranium. Once at a dockside warehouse, two frozen velociraptors and a Tyrannosaurus Rex escape and kill many of the terrorists before the police arrive, who expect to find drug smugglers. After finding the sole survivor, the police are killed inside the warehouse by the velociraptors, and an anti-terrorist special force led by Colonel Rance Higgins is called in by General Mercer, where they find pieces of bodies and a refrigeration truck rather than uranium. They then maneuver through warehouse boxes until two get slashed to death. The survivors learn from Dr. Hodges that these dinosaurs were genetically reconstructed and are now the last three carnosaurs left in existence. The dinosaurs had been en route to a government research facility, and it is made clear that they need to be caught alive, relating to the potential for curing major diseases. A massive meat shipment resides at the dock, so the three remaining soldiers hunt in that area, meeting up with the unit of Marines, who have come as backup. Soldier Polchek is given drugs to shoot into the carnosaurs as the group sets up a lure and net trap with meat. One of the velociraptors then attacks and almost succeeds in dragging off Polchek, but is shot down. The raptor is then taken to the base for examination, and Hodges soon theorizes that the asexual T-Rex is breeding since Polchek was being dragged off, perhaps to hatchlings. The injured raptor then awakens and begins to attack. The T-Rex also appears and bites off a soldier's head before escaping with the raptor to an agricultural transport ship. With Marine member Rosie as captain, the team decides to move the ship out to sea and use its refrigeration coolant to freeze the dinosaurs. When time comes to explore the lower decks of the ship, the carnosaurs knock out the lights and kill a couple more soldiers. The survivors then get to an elevator, but a raptor chews the cable through and they crash on the bottom level. There, the team discovers a nest of eggs and begins shooting at it, angering the T-Rex, who soon bites off Polchek's arm and then eats him. The survivors then decide to kill the dinosaurs by blowing up the ship with dynamite. The T-Rex bursts through the ceiling and drags Rosie through it before eating him, and the two raptors are shot to death after one of them kills Marine member Proudfoot. Hodges then senses the T-Rex is close, and she and Rance hide behind lockers, which the T-Rex headbutts. Rance throws an explosive in the mouth of the dinosaur, killing it, and the two race against time to jump into the ocean before the ship explodes. Back in a police car at the port, the sole surviving terrorist is still bound and gagged in the back seat when the velociraptor soon appears outside the vehicle and eats him, foreshadowing that the prehistoric terror is not over yet. And the movie ends. While none of the movies in this franchise have been particularly great, this is probably the worst. It's pretty much a fucking joke. The dinosaurs look like shit. The plot really has no sense whatsoever. Especially since, you know, if you really think about it, dinosaurs were supposed to be these really large fucking creatures, and yet they can fit inside a fucking van. I mean, what kind of sense does that fucking make? I mean, it is pretty entertaining, and the sight of men in rubber dinosaur costumes is even funnier than the jokes are in this fucking movie. And equally as funny are all the fucking soldiers' smirks and trying to act all hard throughout the majority of this movie. It's really fucking bad. And it really probably shouldn't have been made. And it's probably a good thing that a Carnosaur 4 wasn't made, as it kind of alludes at the end of this one that one was planned. But I think due to the massive failure of this, even for a low-budget movie, Carnosaur 4 never got off the ground, and that's probably for the best. IMDb gave this a 3.1 out of 10. It didn't even chart on Rotten Tomatoes. Letterboxd gave it a 1.5 out of 5, and I give it a 1 out of 5. And that just about wraps it up for this episode. As always, you can reach out to me at darksyde9034@gmail.com. Or my other email, which is Raped by Wolves Band Official, all one word, at gmail.com. I'm Dustin, and this has been Tombs of Horror. I'll see you next time.